This is Lightning Radio's Power Play.
Shoot! What a play!
This week on Lightning Radio's Power Play.
Another exciting season of Lightning hockey has come to a close. And unlike last season, where there was lots of optimism, despite missing out on a Stanley Cup championship, there's a little bit of regret and an awful lot of uncertainty moving into this offseason. On this week's edition of the Power Play Podcast, we revisit this season by visiting with Lightning players, coaches, and management during Locker Cleanout Day, which happened this past Friday after the Lightning was eliminated in seven games by the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Eastern Conference Final. We'll hear from Steve Yzerman, John Cooper, Victor Hedman, Ben Bishop, Jonathan Drouin, and Steven Stamkos as we look into an uncertain summer and what certainly should be a very interesting team moving forward next year. That's next when the final Power Play podcast of this season continues in just 30 seconds.
Storm fans, 2016 Bright House Flex Plans are on sale now starting at just $12.50 a ticket. Flex plans start at an 8-ticket minimum and include parking, pregame field passes, and autographs. Get the most versatile ticket plan by calling 813-301-6600 or visit TampaBayStorm.com. The Tampa Bay Storm, celebrating 25 seasons of arena football.
This is Lightning Radio's Power Play. Here's your host, Matt Salmon.
Locker room cleanout day. For 29 teams, it's the worst day of the year. For the one out of the 30 NHL teams where it isn't the worst day of the year, well, that team's too busy holding a parade to care about cleaning out the lockers. For the Tampa Bay Lightning, two difficult cleanout days have recently happened. One, after being just two wins shy of a Stanley Cup championship in 2015. And one, this past Friday, when the team came two goals shy of advancing to the Stanley Cup Final. While not all players were made available for the media, those that were played a key part in the team's success this season, and a couple will determine the path of the franchise for many years to come. Also speaking, and saying quite a lot, General Manager Steve Yzerman and Head Coach John Cooper. For Cooper, this is the third deep playoff run he's been behind the bench of in the past 5 years. One with Norfolk, and two with Tampa Bay. And while he feels the team was this close to having another magical season, Cooper knows the team fell short of the ultimate goal again.
Coming into a year ago where there wasn't really expectations on us, and the path we took to get to the finals last year, and how we came in with the heightened expectations we had this year, and just the adversity we went through, whether it was the slow start, the injuries, how we dealt with things, and being in, I think we were in sixth place at Christmas time in our division. And for them to be one win away from getting to another Stanley Cup final, I just couldn't tell them how proud I was of the guys. Doesn't matter how you get there, it's just getting there. And to play 43 playoff games in 2 years is pretty remarkable for this group. But ultimately, we can't be satisfied because we have one goal, and that's to etch our name in the Stanley Cup. And we didn't get to do it this year, so there's some unfinished business for next year.
For Steve Yzerman, the architect of the team, which has seen three conference final appearances since he took over in 2010, it's been a bit maddening trying to get over the hump.
Yeah, there's a lot to be pleased about for the season. Obviously, it was an exciting playoff run, getting to Game 7 of the conference final. It's disappointing for all of us. Because you're that close, and every now and then you allow yourself to dream a little bit about what if, but our team played hard. I think I look back on the series against the Penguins, and they were just a little better than us. You look at the shot totals throughout the course of the series, and they outshot us in virtually every game. We played hard to what it's going to take to get to the next level. I think myself as the manager have to look at the team collectively and in what areas we need to improve at. And you can look at all the, whether it's your goals against, your goals for, your power play, your penalty killing, those types of things, and say we need to improve in this area or that area. That will help us. Part of it is just going to be patient, allowing our younger players just to continue to improve with the experience they're getting. And then you look at different ways of trying to tweak your lineup. Obviously, with a salary cap in the league, we have to deal with that. Affects some of the decisions we make and affects not only our team, every team's ability, depending on where they are in relation to the cap, their ability to improve their team. So, you know, again, we'll take some time. I'll sit down with John Cooper and talk about our team and what we think we need, you know, what we think we need to do to improve to get us over the hump. But it's tough to get over that final hump. I'm sure you're aware that, you know, to say we need this or that, this move is going to automatically get us to the Stanley Cup. That's difficult. We'll try to remain as competitive as we can every year and try to hang around these playoffs. And last year we won Game 7, this year we didn't.
So that begs the question, what does it take for this talented team to finally get across the ultimate finish line?
Off the top of my head, like, you know, I have areas, you know, you look at our power play, you just look at statistically, like, you look, you know, I think we need to talk about our team depth. I think in the playoffs, we need more scoring from top to bottom in our forward group. We need, you know, you look at Brian Rust with 2 goals last night for them. Pittsburgh had balanced scoring from all four lines. I think in last year's playoffs and this year's playoffs, we need a little bit more. We need more guys chipping in a goal here and there. That can take the heat off of, you know, the guys that, you know, your big scorers or whatever. You look in this series, you know, a lot, you know, the difference I think really was Pittsburgh and us, who one through four lines, were able to generate a little bit more offense. 2 years in a row, we've kind of stalled a little bit, and you know, so believe it or not, it'll generate more offense up front. Our power play needs to be to improve. And then, you know, you can get better in every area. Look at the Pittsburgh series, and probably throughout the playoffs, we gave up a lot of shots. I don't necessarily, that's something I need to sit down with Coop and figure out, why are we giving up shots? Is it something we're doing? Do we need to improve our play defensively? What do we need to do? But, you know, again, I think just what we run into here in the Chicago series last year and in this series is we need production from 1 through 4 lines.
Is that in the pipeline right now, or do you think you have to go out and get it somewhere?
At this stage, it's more likely comes from within. Honestly, it's, yeah, you know, with the salary cap, to think where we are right now, that we're going to be incredibly active on July 1 is difficult, because we want to retain the guys we have. We like the players we have, and we've got some young players that are going to push. Whether they make the team or not is yet to be determined, but again, we want to re-sign. We're in a position, a lot of our own free agents are up, and we want to sign those players, and in doing that, it's going to be difficult to bring in any significant free agent.
Of course, this is real life and not fantasy sports. It takes time, a little luck, and sometimes some very difficult decisions to be made. Yzerman knows this offseason won't just be difficult to navigate, but so will the next offseason, thus creating a ripple effect over the next several years.
Well, it's certainly going to, not only this summer, the next 2 summers really will kind of define, I think, our team for the next 7 or 8 years, because, you know, depending on the term of these deals, but it's going to affect what we do, which players we sign, and the term that we sign them for is going to, each contract is going to affect the next one. So it's really going to kind of define the core of our team for the next few years. And, you know, we have an idea of what we want to do, and we're going to do our best to, you know, to get everyone to buy into what we're trying to do and keep it together. I like the group that we have. You know, obviously we need to get better to win a Stanley Cup, and that's our goal. Got a lot of work to do, I guess, Eric.
You say it's a luxury because you basically brought back the same team from 1 year to the next. Probably don't have that luxury heading into the next season. Will there be a little bit of a different look when you get to training camp? Do you anticipate that?
Potentially. To what extent, I don't know, honestly, right now. But I look at, you know, not only the free agents, the contracts, the salary cap is an issue for us. And I don't know for certain, but I've got to keep expansion on the horizon as well. So those two reasons potentially might force us to have a little bit of a different look. But again, the nucleus of this team won't change dramatically.
So let's address the elephant in the room, the Steven Stamkos situation. which now puts fans on edge as contract negotiations enter the final few weeks before Stamkos becomes an unrestricted free agent. For Cooper, it's more than what Stamkos brings now, but looking at the past and how he fits in the future. And Cooper wants Stamkos to be a part of that.
He can't sit here and say what he's meant to this team. It's what has he meant to this franchise in the tenure he's been here. And before, you know, you think about big moments, the 2004 group that won a Stanley Cup. But then there was the lockout, and then success really didn't follow after that until, you know, I think when the organization acquired somebody like Steven Stamkos, it put Tampa Bay Lightning back on the map. And he's a superstar player that has been a foundation of our team and a foundation of why we've had success here the last couple of years with me. And so, you know, after that, I don't know what's going to happen here moving forward. But
do you expect him back?
No, that's not a question for me. Do I want him back? Do I want him back? Yes. But as I said, that's going to be a question for Stammer.
Stamkos also says he wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to. You know, that hasn't changed since the beginning. So I know it was tough to envision it, you know, being here today and still being in that position, but it is what it is. I think both sides have done and said the right things. We've kept it internal. We've kept it professional. We've kept it respectful. I mean, I don't envision that changing at all in the next month. So, like I said, we'll continue to engage and talk now that it's not a distraction to the team and to myself in these playoffs, and we'll go from there.
Part of the reason why he wants to be part of this team again is the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's here now. It may not be with other teams who could afford to pursue him.
I certainly hope to be back, and you know, we have obviously unfinished business here. I mean, this group has been unbelievable. This city has been unbelievable for me. I can't believe it's been 8 years already. Time flies. You know, Hedy and I, it seems, you know, since day one. And, you know, you can finally, the last couple of years, you finally see that light. We still haven't got to it, but it's there. It's dangling right in front of us. And, you know, when you start something, you want to finish it. So I really hope that can be the case.
And a reminder, this is real life, not fantasy sports. It's not a quick and simple agreement to come to, even if some wonder why it has taken almost a full year to come to a head.
I think when you go through it, it doesn't bother your mind just because, you know, it's not as easy as everyone thinks it is. And that's from both sides. I mean, there's certain cases where, yeah, it works out right away, and there's certain cases where it takes a little longer. But until you actually go through it and live through it and know, you know, from both sides of the spectrum where people are coming from, that, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And it's not something that on both sides can be taken lightly. It's a big decision for an organization. It's a big decision for a player. And, you know, the more time you take, I mean, just like, you know, the decision I made to come back and play, I mean, that took a long time too. There's a lot of thought. There's a lot of things you have to check off first before you're comfortable in moving to make a decision. So I think in any decision I've ever made in my life, especially as a professional athlete, it's not one that's made quickly, just for the hell of it. There's a lot of thought that's put into it. So at the end of the day, when you do make that decision, that you can certainly live with it, knowing full well that you put in all the work and the proper preparation.
Regardless of what happens to Stamkos, there's no doubt that the short and long-term direction of the team will get determined during the next few weeks. While it's not a distraction, the players are aware of it. Victor Hedman, who will be due a new contract after next season, knows this current situation is part of having a successful team.
Well, that's what happens when you have a cap, you know, sport. It's when you have a successful team, you know, it's hard to keep everyone. And, you know, you see other teams go through the same thing, but, you know, it's, you know, as a player, you can't really do too much. You know, you do your best on the ice to help this team win, and, you know, we try and be successful, obviously, and the last 2 years has been tremendous. Obviously, I haven't reached out my goal yet, but at the same time, two very productive seasons, and, you know, very, very proud of the way that we have played. So, for us, you know, we can't do much about what's going to happen with this team. Everything we can do is, see how things unfold and go from there.
Ben Bishop, who is also due a new contract after next season, sees a similar predicament.
It's a good thing. Obviously guys are performing well and, the team's doing well. And obviously when teams do well, the players succeed, everybody's in for a raise, I guess. And that's a good thing. But I think, obviously, I don't think it's not going to be like this year. We're not going to have the same team back. I think we realize that. But at the same time, I think we have a good core. We have a good team, not just a core. I think the whole team, is a core. And whoever comes back, hopefully everybody does, but you never know what's going to happen. But I think no matter what, this organization is going to be successful moving forward.
While there's some uncertainty with players who need a new contract, there's no uncertainty that there's still a pretty impressive core of young players here. One is Jonathan Drouin, who in the past 2 months has done more than in the previous 3 years to show he not only belongs with this team, but in the NHL. Drouin says he wants to stay.
Definitely want to be here. I love the way this ended. I guess with this kind of different and weird year, but the way this finished was good, and it's definitely somewhere I want to play.
And the feeling is mutual with Yzerman.
Well, obviously he's incredibly skilled. He played hard. He competed hard. I just go back to the Islander game where he got hit and got up, got to the bench, went to the locker room, came back and played. There are not a lot of guys that would do that. And I think you take that. That showed me more than anything, the skill and all that. He makes us a better team. It's simple as that. He makes us a better team. He can do things. He's a talented young player that's only going to get better.
And more importantly, John Cooper is impressed with Drouin's play, as he led a group of youngsters who impressed in the playoffs.
It starts with Joe, and I think it was his journey to the Stanley Cup playoffs this year has been well documented, and it was probably a bumpy road, but you can't ask much more than what he brought to the table for us. Just look at the young guys. Look at Vasilevsky in net. We don't go as far without him standing in relief of Bish. You look at the performance Jonathan Drouin gave us. Slater Cuckoo playing in the minors all year and then being thrust into a top six role and playing the minutes and having the impact of the game he had. You can't do it without some of that youth coming in and energizing us. And it bodes well for those guys in the future. And then, again, and going back to our conversation, and to chat with the guys, don't be satisfied. Just because you did it 1 year, you can't rest on that. And but you got the hungry group there, and as I said, really proud of those young guys.
And let's talk goaltending. First, regarding Bishop. He finally let the cat out of the bag on what his injury in Game 1 against Pittsburgh was.
When I went down, I felt a huge pop, and I thought somebody two-handed me in the shin, and once I felt the pop, and then it was a bunch of pressure and pain. I thought it was my leg. I thought my leg broke, and obviously we didn't want to stand on it. And you saw Stammer when he got up, he actually kind of made it worse. And so I thought my shin was sticking out, and they were saying that the pop might have been just tendon or the flash of the muscle or something. And I pretty much just strained all the stuff in my shin and ankle, and I was coming back and it was getting better. And I was able to skate there at the end, but going down on the butterfly and kind of those movements, trying to go up against the post, it was still really painful. And I just wouldn't have been effective. You could have maybe, played those straight shots, but half the games, down around the post and stuff. And when you can't go into the post with your ankle, it's tough to play the game. Yeah. So, we were getting close. I think, maybe the next, game one would have been a stretch. We would have had to, try it. But I think, I probably had another week or so before, I was actually able to kind of play with the pain. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really possible to play at the end there. So, I was getting there. It's just tough timing.
While we all remember that particular injury and the impression of seeing Bishop carted off the ice in Pittsburgh in Game 1, when you back the lens out just a little bit, you realize this has been the third straight late-season injury that has hampered Bishop. And it bothers him as much as it does you.
Last year it was just one game, and I was able to play through it. Obviously, the year before that was tough.
I try to look at the positive side, and you know, it's the Stanley Cup Finals and Eastern Conference Finals, and you know, there's not, you know, we lose in the second round, I don't get hurt either year, and we're not talking about this. So try to look at the positives like that, and you know, you're getting that far. Obviously, you want to take, you know, for me, the next step to, you know, go through the whole playoffs healthy. You know, it's a lot of games, a lot of back-to-back nights with a lot of travel, so it's not easy. But you know, last year you think it's just a one-time thing, and then now it's 2 years in a row. So you know, moving forward, you know, it's just one of those things where you learn from the experience, and you know, really have to look after yourself even more in the playoffs. You know, I played, I think, you know, I dressed 92 straight games, you know, through the regular season. You know, I think I was the only guy to play dress every single game on the team, and then you get hurt there. It's a tough pill to swallow. So it's just something you're gonna learn from, and now, you know, moving forward, just take even extra care of your body there in the playoffs.
While it was tough to not have Bishop in the lineup, Cooper defends Andre Vasilevsky, who certainly raised his game this season, proving his worthiness as a first-round selection in 2012.
Is he going to be a number one starting goalie in this league? There's no question, not a doubt in my mind. But as with anybody else in this league, and especially in goaltending, it's you need reps. And you look at Ben Bishop, how many years it took him to finally find his way in the league, and now in his late 20s and about to be 30, he's a Vezina candidate two of the last 3 years. But it takes time, and I just think that ceiling is limitless for Vasilevsky.
And Iserman says having two quality goaltenders will help this team next season.
I guess for me, and again, I don't know, but expansion and what we read and what you're going to be able to, players you're going to be able to protect, at some point we're going to, and even the salary cap, at some point we're going to have to make a decision, not only on the goaltending, but other positions as well. I don't necessarily have to do anything with our goaltending at this point. I think we're in a fantastic position. We have two outstanding goaltenders based on what we've seen from Andre throughout last year and this year, and in particular here coming in the Pittsburgh series. I think we've got a brilliant young goaltender and a proven, I don't even want to call Bishop veteran because he's still relatively young in years played and games played, but we've got two outstanding goaltenders, I know that, and at some point, I don't know when that is, we may, for expansion or for cap reasons, have to make a decision.
So some things are in place, others are in limbo. And it's not just the Lightning in this situation. Thanks to a relatively flat salary cap next year and a potential expansion draft next summer, there are a lot of difficult decisions to be made throughout the NHL over the next few weeks. And while we can't predict the future, be it a few weeks or seasons from now, we can take one look at last season's locker cleanout and see a distinct difference from this season's locker cleanout. In June 2015, the team was upset they didn't win the Stanley Cup, but there was much hope and optimism to take care of business the next season. As we enter June 2016, there's still anger about not winning the Stanley Cup, but there's a healthy dose of regret. Underneath the surface, you can sense the tension of a team that might look a little different come training camp in September. And while the core of this team is young and strong, and the future still looks bright for a team that can contend year after year after year, you feel a sense of regret, a sense of what could have been, as the team couldn't at least reach the Cup final one more time, with one more win, be it in Game 6 against the Penguins, or ultimately, in Game 7. With that said, it's not easy to make it to the Stanley Cup Final. Just look at the two combatants this year. The Pittsburgh Penguins, a team that has been loaded with talent for 10 years, has taken 7 years to get back to the Cup Final. That franchise has won 3 Stanley Cups in 48 seasons, and all 3 of those championships happened in an 18-year window, 1991, 1992, and 2009. The San Jose Sharks, in the league for 25 years and competitive with much of the same core players for the past 10 years, are finally making their first appearance in the Cup Final. We certainly want the Lightning to be there, but as you watch this Cup Final play out, realize the sacrifice it takes for teams to get there as you watch other talented teams like the Capitals, Kings, Blackhawks, and Lightning watching the game from the TV, much like you are. This is the final Power Play podcast of the season, and we'll be back in September with reports from training camp, and we'll look into some new stories with some new players and interesting things to share with you. This past season, I've enjoyed sharing the stories of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Hockeyville, USA, Tampa Bay's first professional hockey team, the Suncoast Suns, and the trials and tribulations of professional hockey in Atlanta. We've had stories on past players like Tim Taylor, Brian Bradley, Matthew Barnaby, and also current players like Nikita Kucherov, Andre Schuster, and a plethora of young talent coming up from Syracuse. And, of course, plenty of BS sessions, Hockey Insight, with Phil Esposito and the Chief, Bobby Taylor. And while that's all been fun, I couldn't have done it without you. In fact, I'd like to thank you for being a loyal listener of this podcast, be it on iTunes, Stitcher, the team website, or our 24/7 channel, Lightning Power Play. I'm Matt Salmon. Thank you for being an integral part of our third season, which concludes now, of the Power Play podcast from Lightning Radio.
Access all episodes of Lightning Radio's Power Play at TampaBayLightning.com and follow the Lightning Radio Network on Facebook and Twitter at Bolts Radio. This is Lightning Radio's Power Play.
1 second left in the Power Play.